This is official, man. Y'all set up. What's up, boys?
There he is.
What's happening?
What up, my guys?
Man.
This is the energy, man.
What's up with you, man?
What's up, man? Happy to be here. This is me right here.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you.
Oh, we got you know I want something. Is this okay? Or is this
run it. Rip that shit.
Okay, you know.
It's going to be warm, though. Like,
that's all right.
Yeah, what's
that's just product placement, then, isn't it?
That's how we drink them. No, we drink them all the time. Yeah, we drink them all the time.
Hey, what they say, man? The only thing worse than a warm or warm beer is a no beer, right? So, or I guess a seltzer, a happy day. Only thing worse than a warm, happy, hard day seltzer is a no happy day hard seltzer.
Happy dad. Happy dad.
Happy dad. Hey, man.
So, first off, I just gonna get this out the way, and maybe it makes the show, maybe it doesn't. I'm a huge fan. Like, this is legitimately how this all started. I started sending your, like, IG clips to our group chat. I was like, dog, y'all gotta check this dude out, man. He can sing, like, ooh, ooh. And that's when I DM'd you. I emailed your people. Like, I was all the way on it. I'm a legitimate harasser. You know what I mean?
Dude, so
I just
want to
tell you,
man,
like, just from a fan perspective, like, I actually don't care how good the show is. Like, I just wanted you to come.
Okay, I'm done. I don't either, then.
RC loves you. We done checked you out, bro. And you're talented, but RC loves you.
My boy.
Listen, I got to one-up him, and this is just to fuck with him, right? But it's the truth. I probably found you a year before that.
Yeah, we're the real one right here, man.
But you didn't bring it to the people, though. It doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter if you found him.
Nah, that's true.
You didn't bring it to the people.
You guys raised me. You know, so I could definitely say all three of you guys have raised me as I was a child. So, I mean, I could definitely, if we're giving flowers here, it's really I'm the fan.
That's my job.
You know what I mean?
That's my job. We got to give you flowers, man. We were at a Shaq party, I know, before we get to rolling, and they was playing Journey. Don't Stop Believing, which I just saw you do the rendition, right?
It's crazy how that happened too, man. We were in a green room in, like, I think, like, Antwerp on our tour a couple months ago, and my pianist was just kind of playing it, and I was like, yo, I just started singing. Obviously, everybody knows the song, and
no, everybody does not know the song. That's the point I was making.
Give it out.
He does not know the fucking song.
You never heard that song? No.
I did not know.
How could you even be on the field and not hear that song at one
That's
point?
What
you know
I'm
what
saying,
I mean? Like,
Ted.
Somebody plays that. Like,
they turned that shit on at Shaq's party during the Super Bowl out in LA, and Fred put his arms up like a frat
Come
girl.
On, Fred.
Like a sorority girl. Fred
yes.
was.
See, that brings a sorority girl out in everybody.
And
That's
I was
all,
like,
bro,
what's going on? He was like, bro, you don't know these words? And I was like, no, I know them now, because now I had to learn them, because that's my OG right there. But I didn't know it. But then, to your point, I saw you sing them, and I was like, God damn.
God
like,
damn.
Bro, the talent that you have.
Thank you so
like,
much,
it's
man.
Stupid, man. Is that a mistake?
It definitely could have been better in somebody else's hands, but, you know, I'm definitely the hungriest out there. You know what I mean? I think at some level, especially when you do a song of that caliber, you know, like we just did it on America's Got Talent a couple of days ago, and Neil Sean came and played with me, and he's like, now in the conversation of like, man, we should do a new Journey album with like you singing and like kind of revisit some old songs and some hits and put them out with you. And I'm like, boy, are you like really telling me like, hey man, would you like to be the singer of Journey right now? Cause like, dude, it's Journey. I grew up on that, right? And I mean, it's insane to me to that song, bro, and just, in general, like that band, Steve Perry is like so much of the reason why I got into this and I started singing, you know? And I mean, I think at some point though, we all still hear our own voices. I'm sure if you guys go back and listen to this, you kind of hear your own voice sometimes and you're like, oh God, is that how I talk, man? I sound like, I cannot ever come back and listen to like, I won't be able to listen to this after we had this conversation, because I'll just hear like, that's how I feel like I talk, you know? And it just disgusts me, you know? And I've done every bit of work I can to like scientifically and like dynamically, as far as you break it down, I am a good singer as far as on paper and science goes. But I still like hear my tone and I'm like, God, you.
Bro, it's
redneck,
so
man. You know what I mean?
Hold up. Limitless. Niggas to me, cap pinning it. I thought they here to witness it.
Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Niggas send me cap in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up.
Like I said, I'm extremely excited. And for those who don't know him, if you're not one of his like 2 million followers on Instagram, this is Teddy Swims. This is Freddie T, the OG. This is Chan. I'm RC. Thank you so much for subscribing to The Pivot. Thank you so much for watching it, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Continue to support. Continue to like. We are so grateful for everything that you guys have been as we've been on this journey. Jayden Dimsdale.
Yeah, nice.
Right? Someone who isn't me sometimes, right? Teddy Swims. The Swims is an acronym. And when we started this show, man, like it was so much that went into it. And, you know, we talk about our culture, right? And being black so many times. And like they gravitate to you. And they're like, this is ours and it has to be ours. And like, I just remember the first time I saw you, I was like, I want to tell that story. Because it's the classic, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
yeah.
know, and to see you get to where you are, man, what was the catalyst, though, that made you feel like, you know what, I can do this. Like, I can make a dent in this media, in this genre, because I'm that talented.
When I first got out of high school, I graduated in 2011, and my first band ever, we were like a metalcore band, and I was, you can still actually find like the first EP I ever put on YouTube under this band, Heroic Bear. Well, you would hear that, and like, you would be like, I don't know why you kept at this, bro, because I was not good. You know, when I first started singing, it wasn't like, whoa, where did that come from, man? Did you know you had that? I was like, people always ask you, like, when did you discover you could sing like that? And it wasn't like I was sitting here like, and my friends was like, whoa, bro, we've been in the wrong business. No, it was like, it was a thing that, I think for me, I just loved it. And I loved what I was doing. I was a football player, you know, all the way through my whole life. I mean, I remember even my 11th grade year, coming into my 11th grade year, I told my mom, like, I don't think I'm gonna play football, mom. I'm 5'7". And it's not defensive line ain't gonna happen, mom. It's not gonna happen. I mean, I was good, you know, but the 6'5" guy next to me is like, he's gonna eat me up every time. Eventually, he's gonna be able to get bigger. I was capped out as like swole as I could probably get at that time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think for me, it was not only that, but there was something about it, man. My buddy Jesse, who still plays with me, man, all my buddies, I played in bands with my whole life are still, you know, my core team and play with me now. And I think it was just something I fell in love with, and I knew that there was, for the hunger, man, there's always gonna be some kid, there's always gonna be some 11-year-old on TikTok that's better than you at everything, that's more talented than you. It goes down to the hunger of like what you want, you know, what you want, what can you have, what can you grab, like what is it that you're passionate about that you can? I knew I wanted to be the best. Like I want, at the end of this time, no matter how long it goes, whenever I die, whatever, I want it to be known that no matter if I ever feel that way or not, I will be the best that's ever done this. That is like my goal in my life, is like I want to be the very best. I can't be a fan of a voice. If I hear a voice that's just incredible, or they do something that I can't, whether it's screaming or opera or like, I don't know, like Indian throat singing or something, I'm like, I gotta figure that out. I gotta know. I'm just so in love with this tool, this communication, you know, this thing. I think being raised by my granddad, who was a Pentecostal pastor, was always this calling on your life. You're gonna be doing this or this or this, you know, and I just the feel of communication with people, and this, you know, there's always this thing I've been told. It's like, you know who the most important person in the world is? Is you, because we have this right now. It's only this, only me and you, only us right here. This is, you are the most important person in the world. And to be able to like make anybody feel that way at all, any time in my life was, so I guess music for me, or singing, or like using my voice at all, was just the catalyst to wanting to make that comfort for somebody, you know, to, and I'm super lucky that we get to live in a world where if I'd have done this 15 years ago, somebody might have told me to lose some weight or to like not tattoo my face or not to be, you know, an absolute fuck up. But like I get to do that now, you know? Like with social media in this era, I get to just totally lead with my insecurities. I totally get to just like, you know, feel like this on camera and like just lead with my absolute insecurities and be like, hey, I'm fat and shitty and I'm drunk and you know, like I don't know what to do with myself. And it's so fuck it, man. It's all good. I can just totally be the most like
you are so yeah. human.
Yeah, it's great.
It's so awesome. But I wanna ask you, like, from that point, talking about football, you weren't that good. You're 5'7" defensive tackle.
No, it's not. No, I'm not great. I'm not great. No, I wasn't eighth grade when I was 5'7". I was huge.
You weren't that good.
Stop. Like, yeah. Everybody kept getting bigger, and I just got progressively worse.
But like with the music, you know, platform that you're on now, and bro, you fucking blow.
Hell yeah.
Like
crazy.
Instagram, whatever. Teddy Swims, like you fucking blow. Can you work on it? Is it God-given? Yes. Like, were you blessed with that voice, or did you have to figure it out?
No, I was really bad at it. I was really bad at first, man. People were like, don't quit your day job. So when I first started singing. But it was also like, I wanted it, and I knew I could learn it. And it's just like any instrument or anything in the world. I mean, maybe there was a hankering in my mind that I was born with, or maybe there was like some sort of gift from God that could like, you know, not just take away God out of anything, because I am like absolutely blessed, you know what I mean? So I'm not saying that God didn't gift me, because I totally feel like what a gift I do have, you know, that. But it definitely was a developed thing. I always tell people all the time when they ask me like, man, I can't sing. And I'm like, well, dude, you're the one that can learn to sing. Because that was me. I was like, no, I can't sing. I'm not a singer. I can't be a singer. I was just a writer. I wanted to write stories or talk, communicate, public speak, whatever. When I found out that if you were a person that says, like, do you think you can sing? Can you sing?
No.
Okay, so I would say, then you know when you're hitting it and when you're not hitting it.
Yeah.
And all it takes is, like, hitting it and like doing the work to like make sure your voice can sustain that note. But you know when you're hitting it, when you ain't hitting it. I know you know somebody that thinks they can sing,
mm-hmm.
and God, they can't sing. Those people, maybe they're like, might be a little less helped for, but I think as far as singing goes, man, it's just about knowing how this muscle's used and exerting it and using it and practicing it. And it's like anything in your
Chan,
life, you know?
When he said, you know you're not hitting it, what'd you thought? Like, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
Sex. Because you know if you turning right and they ain't moaning right, then you gotta turn left.
Same exact thing, bro.
Hey, when he said it, I looked right at you like he's totally not thinking about singing anymore.
I'm nasty,
but there's
bro.
No, that's exactly the same thing, though, man. It is, man, because you know when you're not hitting it. And then you got to get you a good long-term girlfriend to teach you where the spot is, you know what I mean? Here we are. If I'm out here looking for the clitoris at 29 years old, I got some shit I got to figure
it's
out.
It's towards
man.
The belly.
Yeah.
Yeah, back there, like, come around, and then you rub the front.
Come on. That's how you got to do
it. Bro, I'm saying, we teaching right
I
now.
Mean, based off of my stature, you think my dick looks anything like me? Absolutely it does. It's a little thicker, a little shorter, you know what I mean? But I get the job done, baby. I get it done. I promise mine ain't swinging like y'all's are. But she's satisfied, you know what I'm saying? She happy with me. And I did the work, goddamn, I did the work.
Teddy say, fuck
my baby will give you glorious reviews, you know what I'm saying? We'll phone her right now and say, yeah, baby, you swinging. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Because when I be sitting in the shower, I feel like the thing's inside of me, you know what I mean? But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
You got to shave it, make it look bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to shave
it. Peekaboo.
Hey, he don't want it. Chad, what'd you say, Chad? You don't want it coming out the hair like this.
Man, you got to put that hair way back. And poke that thing out, then.
Teddy, let me ask you this, because I see the tats. I'm tatted up. You tatted up. RC always hiding his tats. Chan's tatted up. You know, you spoke about your grandfather being a pastor. You know, at what age did the tattoos start? And was it any pushback from the authoritative figures in your home?
Yeah, I mean, my mom was like, she was a hairstylist growing up, you know, so she was always, since the time I was a kid, I got pictures of me, like, 9/11 happened, she just dyed my whole hair, you know, red, white, and blue. Like, and what I was with my little football teams when I was in Little League would, you know, if I was on the Miami Hurricanes or something, it would be green side, orange side, my little number 74 shaved in my head, little stuff like that. She always let me pierce my face and, like, you know, do whatever I wanted to do. And as a kid, I always, like, even though it's not a job, I was always like, if somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was always like, I want to be a comedian and I want to be tattooed. Like, that was like, as if it was a job, just being tattooed. I get $10 every Sunday for doing my weekly chores. And, you know, you had to give $1 at least. You had to tithe, you 10. You got to give you 10%. So I give my dollar. My brother was always an overachiever. He gave like $5. I'm like, you stupid, bro.
Yeah, I'm going to keep this $9.
You dumb, bro. You give half of your money to God? No way, bro. You only require 10. Yeah. So I don't know why I'm getting all the blessings he should be, honestly. But I take it and I just turn it. We go to the Mexican restaurant down the road in Conyers, and when we get out of church, and the rest of that $9 cashed out in quarters, just hitting the tattoo machine. You know, a little 50 cent all over my body, man. Little kid pictures of me.
The little temporary tats.
Yeah. Waxing up, all covered in tattoos. I always wanted to be tattooed, man. And, you know, weirdly, one of the last things when I was talking to my granddad, he always was, you know, on me about my purpose and what I was trying to do with life. And unfortunately, he didn't get to see me at this level. And he had told me, like, son, you know the calling you got on your life. Just make sure you please don't tattoo your face. And so the first face tattoo I got was actually right when he passed. I got home at last because of something my grandmother said to me about him. Like, oh, he's home at last. So I thought it'd be kind of funny to, you know, to get my first face tattoo, the promise I made to him to commemorate him, just so I could, like, piss him off one last time. Like, you know, boy, when I see you, you know, he's going to give me an ass whooping when I get up there. And I'm looking forward to that being the best part of heaven, is getting my ass whooped by my grandfather again.
In heaven. That is something. So along those lines, man, again, we're all tatted, and we all have our favorite tats. You know, we go and sit in that chair, and we say, all right, this means something.
Yeah.
This is sentimental, and I hold this near and dear to my heart. Your three favorite tats, because I'm looking at you and I see my favorite, just patience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for me, that's everything in life. But that's your art. What's your three favorite?
Probably number one I got is, have you guys ever seen Happy Gilmore? It's Chubbs Peterson. Carl Weathers, man.
I met him.
You got Chubbs.
Well, come on, bro. Yeah, Chubbs, you got to, bro. He's the real deal. Him and the best guy ever, too, man. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Yeah. It just changed my life, man, as a kid. And, man, probably.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This one right here I got on my hand. A couple years ago, my pianist, my best friend, Christoph Solomon, passed away, and I got this juice box with his initials in it. And it was just a couple days ago. It was 2 years, man. He's best guy in the world, man. 5 kids he left behind. Best father, best, most incredible human being, man. It's just like just the ideal person, you know? So maybe that's three, probably. That's probably my three.
You seem like real, you down to earth as fuck.
Yeah,
Do you cry, bro?
All the time. Daily. Daily.
Bro, it's crazy, ain't it, Fred? Like, bro, you're like, it doesn't seem as if you're who you are. Like, you don't act like who you really are. Like, you haven't embraced what you've done in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you're famous. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Y'all help me out, bro. Like,
I think
the thing is,
like, we've had opportunities to sit with people we are fans of, people we respect their talents, and obviously we're both when it comes to you. And man, like, you ride up here, man, like what you drove, like a Corolla or something?
Yeah,
like,
I pulled up my Camry, man. I kept renting cars, and I'm not here often, so I was like, well, I'm sick of renting cars. I'm gonna just get something that's, I guess, I'm that way. I could get something real just dependable, and like, I could never, I'm doing fine. I could get something nice, I guess, but I don't know, man.
Like, I think that's the, like, that's the thing we're saying, man, and like, in getting an opportunity to sit with you and have an opportunity to hear you talk, because what happens is, like, he was an All-American linebacker at Florida. He was drafted. He was an All-American running back at Florida. He was drafted. I played 13 years, and you have, like, a certain talent. But a lot of people who have certain talents marvel at the things they can't do, you know? And for you to be in this position now, like, yeah, you know, the Camry's dependable. I think Fred was kind of talking about earlier some things you had went through.
Yeah, I was just reading up on you, man, and after you released Broke, you guys went out to L.A. to record for a month, and the label ended up getting a $30,000 Airbnb, and you were pissed.
I cried. Like, what the fuck y'all doing? It, yeah, man.
You cried about that?
Dude, it just was like my little brother was going go into college next year, right? That's like his fucking tuition right there, bro. Like, and I mean, I still get chills talking about this because it was something I'm still learning too. You know, the more money you make, the more money you gotta spend to make more money. And so it was such a hard thing for me to grasp, spending that money in order to make the more money, because I had never seen that dollar sign in my fucking
$30,000 for a fucking rental.
I never seen that in my fucking life, man. I'm like, a first thing I do, like, fucking, when I got signed, it was like, I bought my dad a, you know, a good F-150 badass truck for him, man. And then was like, I'm never driving again. I'm renting something so I don't have to have, like, we've been on the side of the goddamn road our whole life, you know what I mean? I spent more time, like, on the side of the road than even in a car probably, bro. So I fucking, wow. When it comes down to that car, man, that thing break down, I can hear it running wrong, and I know how to fix that fucking starter in that thing. You know, I know everything about that bastard. You know what I mean? I know those cars. And weirdly about that trip, too, we didn't even get to stay for a whole month. We stayed for about a week, and that's when the beginning of the shutdown, like, everything got shut down. And so I was navigating this, like, over the last 2 years. We're just now starting to get to tour and starting to get to, like, see people and, you know, feel the whole thing. Like, I'm doing these meet and greets at my shows where there's always 100 people that are waiting in line to chat with me, and they just wait forever and sit in line with you, and, like, some of these people have been waiting 2 years to meet you, you know, and they have these amazing stories, and You gotta meet them right where they are on there, like, wherever they are. Maybe somebody's like, man, my dad bought me these tickets last year and it got pushed back and he's no longer with us, but he showed me you. Every time I hear him, I think about my father, and you're just like crying with this person. But the next person's coming up just celebrating life, you know, like, me and my husband just got married to your song Amazing and danced our first dance, and you're meeting all these people and their emotions, and it's just like, I guess I haven't really had that time or that opportunity with the want to keep going. I haven't really had that opportunity to sit and, like, ever realize that I am, I guess, making a difference to somebody in some way, or allow myself to feel like I can. Because there's just always this piece of me that when this started happening and it started taking off for me, there's always, like, this thing your mind plays on you, like, are people, like, really liking my voice? Are people liking my voice because I don't look like I sound? Am I just working this gimmick here? Am I having a gimmick here? Or I told myself, like, when I achieve this as a job, this thing as a job, then it would solve all my issues and my problems would just kind of, like, disappear. All the things that I had that were insecure about myself or upset with myself, I thought they would go away because there was enough people that said, like, no, you totally are welcome and validated to feel that way, and you aren't fat and ugly, and you're, like, actually a really nice guy. And, like, and I thought, like, as soon as I got a million people that said that, I'd be like, yeah, I'm pretty good, I'm all right. And it was so far from the fucking truth, because I was still, like, absolutely hated myself, you know? I either felt like I was lying to everybody and pulling the wool over their eyes, or everybody collectively got together and was like, but just tell that guy he's doing all right, because he deserves it. He's a good guy, but he really sucks. So he just, let's just give him this one W, because he always loses, you know?
That's a struggle.
No, but why insecurity? 1 million people, 2 million people, 3 million people. Why insecurity?
I don't know. I think it is the beauty of it, though, you know, is that that their opinions of me being great doesn't change. It's truly like something that is in my control to feel the way I want to about myself. Like that this, my fucking second dad and mentor DDP always says, man, this 6-inch piece of real estate is like what you're in control of right here. And it's your, and I started having to do this thing where I now like wake up and I look at myself in the mirror, regardless of how I see, look right in the eyes, you know, and say, thank you. You're doing a great job. You know, and as silly as that sounds, and cliche as it sounds, it's really changed my life a lot because so much we get in the mirror and we dress as like cool as we can. We never like spend time actually connecting and looking at each other and like yourself in the eyes, you know. And I think with insecurities, it's stuff that's just not going to go away. And I don't want it to either because it's bearing it or like feeling too sure of myself or feeling like I like got this and I'm the fucking best guy in the room. Like surely I'm in the wrong room, you know, if I'm the best
man,
guy.
Man, you got 50 million fucking views on different videos. I don't like, it's crazy because I mean, what's the hardest part about it? Like why you don't believe it? Is it because you came from, you mentioned about, you know, being in those cars on the road, on the side of the road, you know, being broke, you know, being at rock bottom, why can't you believe that you're that guy? 70 fucking million videos on YouTube, that validates.
I mean, I know, I do believe I'm that guy. I just, like, for me, the thing is, I always felt like I was that guy. Like, you watch the damn anything, The Matrix, Dragon Ball Z or something, I felt like, yeah, I'm fucking Goku, bro. I am that.
Dragon Ball Z.
I am Goku, bro. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's me, bro. That's fucking me right there. I see that guy. That's me for sure, but I don't think I'm supposed to be so sure that I'm like, I have the answers though, or that like I am comfortable with being that guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't like, if I feel like I'd be lying if I was ever like so, I think I'm like confident in my like missteps and confident in my insecurities. Like I'm not sitting up here trying to hide the fact that I am insecure about whatever it may be. I just am getting to be insecure about it. And I have the freedom and the ability to be absolutely a fucking mental head case. And it's okay, you know? And I think that the thing that people have fucked up that are the guy is maybe they try to not seem like they can't be honest with everything that is plaguing them or insecure. I mean, not to speculate on them, but for me, I love exactly who I am and like the insecures and I love being validated. I love getting told. I love reaffirmation. I love to reaffirm people. I love to tell people like it's okay that you got your shit together. It ain't gonna stop. That's not stopping you from your purpose. It's not having your shit together. If you separate like, well, I gotta get this and this and this and this and this all shit in order before I can do this, then you just make excuses for the rest of your life and you keep yourself in a place where you wait till you get all this shit together. Like, oh man, well, as soon as I get in shape, then bro, I'm gonna fucking be out here singing on every street corner, like fucking busking. I'm gonna go sign up for The Voice and like try out. And I gotta be comfortable with my figure and my shape first. Like, nah, fuck that, bro. I'm just not comfortable, and it's totally okay.
I love it.
Say, bro, Teddy Swims got me thinking I might be able to sing. He gave up being a D-tackle to be a singer. Now, he's one of the most viewed dudes on YouTube. Could you imagine if RC got up there?
Embarrass your damn self.
Well,
and he wasn't gonna make it in football. Y'all are exactly where y'all supposed to be.
Well, guess what? I ain't gotta embarrass myself, because as long as we got DraftKings as a partner, I can keep giving them this good TV content.
No, yes, sir.
The bets changed a little bit, though, Chan, because you've been telling everybody $5 for a free $200 in bets.
But now right. you gotta win now.
No, you gotta win, but it's gotta be $5 on any football wager, and you win, and you get a free $200. But
okay,
we got some boys that's really balling right now. Who you liking?
Bro, I'm riding with my home team. Miami's defense gonna be top five. They offense gonna come around. I'm telling you, watch them boys in Miami.
Freddie T, are you gonna be a homer too?
I gotta be, man. You know, I'm Duval County. Jacksonville will have the upset game of the week.
Los Angeles?
LA.
Freddie.
Newly revamped LA.
Freddie.
Take it, take it, take it. I'm not telling you to take it, but you gonna take it.
Okay. Hey guys, get your devices out right now. Download on your phone or any device you have DraftKings Sportsbook app. They're an official betting partner of the NFL. These two dudes could be Homer, but y'all know where it's at.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
Hey, man, I got insufficient funds on my Wells Fargo.
You know, you mentioned these insecurities. And there was a morning we were about to go on The Breakfast Club. Channing and I were having a conversation. I am a big Chris Brown fan.
Me too. I think Chris
Brown. Say that again?
Best wait. Best entertainer ever.
Oh!
So timeout. Timeout.
Ever? 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 Ever?
Hey, so this is this. Let me chime
Crocs.
In.
I'm gonna stomp your Crocs. Ever?
Of course. There's fucking Michael Jackson. There's James Brown. Of
no,
course.
You stop there.
No, Teddy. Here was my statement. Hold on. Wait. No. I got Teddy on. This is me. You remember? I sent you the screenshot when he DM'd me back. So Teddy, here's what I said. I didn't say that Chris Brown was a more iconic figure than Michael Jackson. What I said was, I think talent for talent, he is more talented. And this guy felt some type of way. Teddy, what'd you say, Teddy?
Teddy, don't make me come over there.
I would not fold on Mike, but Mike is the most iconic, most incredible, like, Mike is Mike.
He started this thing, Teddy. Started this shit.
Yeah, Mike walked for Chris to run. Mike walked for, you know, but...
For everybody to run.
Yeah, dude, Mike started this shit. Yeah, Mike is the one, don't get me wrong, but... Also, as an entertainer, as like a, like you say, pound for pound, talent for talent, for like what being able to do, like what Chris does is fuck. I don't know, man. They
what is in the man in the floor,
bro. Hey, so let me know. So the point is this though. The point is this. And here's what I said. I said there isn't a thing Mike can do.
It's over for you, Teddy.
What? There's nothing Michael Jackson can do that Chris Brown can't do.
I gotta echo that.
Boom! Y'all are crazy! It was a different time. But I was trying to get to this.
No, I totally agree, bro.
Do you see what I'm saying, bro?
He's the game and everything, bro. He's the one, for sure.
Michael Jackson is Tom Brady. Chris Brown's Aaron Rodgers.
I know, I respect Chris, but y'all disrespect Mike.
Never. Hold on.
Y'all are disrespecting Mike, talking about Chris.
Michael single-handedly reasoned like my start of Teddy Swim. It was June 25th of 2019.
That is where I was getting to.
Yeah, Mike started everything for me, even. And Chris, for everybody. Mike started everything for me is the greatest, man. As far as like...
It was Rock With You, right?
And I definitely like... It's Michael's whole discography, yes, know it, all of it, bro. I love Michael, bro. I love Michael.
Can we get a snippet of that? The Rock With Me, what shot you here?
Yes. Teddy, this is like on the spot now. This is what you do. Like you be singing in like lobbies and
hey, you know you gotta do what you gotta do.
Hotel suites.
I love it.
I am fired up. I'm so
excited.
Girl,
close your eyes, let the rhythm get into you. Don't try to fight it. There ain't nothing that you can do. Relax your mind. Lay back and groove with mine.
It's time to feel
that beat. And we go ride the boogie. Share that beat of love. I'm gonna rock with you all night. Dance you into today. Come on, what a fucking hater.
Hey, that is why I did the show. That was the thing we wanted to do from the jump.
I want shit on Mike one bit, man.
Happy day, man. So Teddy, man, when you take on something like that, and I think like the point for me was to speak about how iconic Michael Jackson was. And in 2019, you cover his song, and it's the song that makes people notice you. I think you talk about your insecurities, right? Like, I can only imagine the level of insecurity that comes with covering something from Michael Jackson.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of that insecurity comes from that place, because as I was, like, starting to even release my own original tunes, and I did this whole year, 6 months or whatever, of covers that are some of the greatest songs of all time, like That Included, or I Can't Make You Love Me, for God's sakes. You know, like, some of these greatest songs of all time, and it was this fear of, like, how do I write a song that is ever going to compete? Like, how do I follow up with my own shit that's going to compete or be even on the level with that? Which I also had to forgive myself, because it doesn't have to be on the level of that. The reason I was able to grow up with that song and, like, be influenced by that song is more than enough. My songs never have to reach... I hope it never... I mean, I want to be the biggest of all I can possibly be, but I'm definitely not trying to write a song better than I Can't Make You Love Me or, like, Rock With You. Like, I don't want to, like, top that or, like, hold myself to this standard of, like, I gotta do
but
this.
But you do want to top it.
Yeah, I want to top what's happening here now today. You know, I want to be the best right now today. But I'm definitely not, like, out here, like, man, well, this is still not as good as Rock With You, so we got to go back to the drawing boards, boy. You know, like, it's. I think it definitely made me and put me in this headspace though after that when I was starting to, like, write my own original stuff for Teddy Swims that. Like, how do I write something that good? Or how do I keep up with Icon? Or is there gonna be people that are like, come on, shut up, fat boy, just sing Shania Twain. You know, like, you're better right. off just singing that. And then, like, we don't wanna hear what you got to feel, whatever you feeling like or wanna say. And I feel like, and I mean, of course they do wanna know. They give a shit. Anybody can sing that song, you know, and like, and if they didn't want me to sing that song, they listen to Michael's version. If they listen to mine, then maybe there's something I do have and I'm bringing to it. Maybe there's something sweet about it, but. There was also the insecurity of, well, maybe I just look like I don't sound like that. Or, you know, when it first started catching some drift, I definitely know, like, once it hit this, let's say when it hit its first 500,000 views, I know when it started getting suggested to people on Instagram or Facebook or what have you, there was definitely people before they click on it was like, okay, well, this has, like, a certain amount of views to it now. It's either got to be funny or, like, really good.
Right.
For me to, like, it's, the only way this is working is, like, this... bearded, face-tatted, camo-wearing guy singing this song. It's either got to be funny and it's like a parody or it's like really good. And it ended up, I guess, being both, and it was like worked really well. And we just kept on going with these covers. But I always keep myself in this place of, yeah, I don't know how I'm... I try to free myself of the comparison, you know, where they say you can't compare where you don't compete. Nobody's better of a singer or nobody's like a better. It's not like a sport where music or art is just not a sport.
You right, know? You don't get that actual competition.
Yes,
on the field,
yeah.
Right.
At the end of the day, we're on the field, like, play for play, but you're going to see who's the best.
Right.
No matter what, you know, you're going to see who's the best. There's a certain set of rules, the way they set, so you can see who's the best. Music is not like that, you know. Art is not like that. There's not this certain set of rules or, like, this certain thing that... And I'm sure even then, like, you have MJ or you have, like, Stevie Wonder, like, the greatest of all time. You have Stevie Wonder. It might be... I'm sure there was a person he was looking back at that he was, like, maybe Smokey, like, looking back and being like, man, I don't want to be like I will always be. I'm no MJ or anything, you know. I'm no Chris Brown. I'm no Chris Brown. Probably, you know, like, look, grew up listening to MJ. Like, I'm no MJ. I don't want to be better than MJ. He don't want to hear us talking about. If he was in this room, I imagine Chris Brown would be like, no, whoa, hold on.
He actually already said it.
Don't say nothing about MJ around me. Nah, don't hold me to that regard. Fuck that, you know. But he is, you know, fucking. Change this generation and the next going to.
Teddy, yeah. I mentioned, like, how we've focused on this show, and representation matters. And I say that in so many different ways. Like, we are three black former football players who are sitting here with Teddy Swims, but we have a producer in Alicia Zubakowski who is a white woman and who we've had different conversations about expanding this show and making this a place for everybody in our culture, right? Like, think about this. Like, Eminem can flat out rap.
Yeah, sure.
Flat out rap, right? But it was the draw to him because he was a minority in a space, right? And he was exceptional still, but it was like, oh my goodness, like this white boy can really rap, right? Or when you're in the hood and it's like the one white dude or white chick that can really dance, right? And she may not dance better than any of like the black people around, but it's like, oh my gosh, though, like she can really go. Is there ever any pressure on you because, I mean, you've covered Mario, You Should Let Me Love You. Like, you've done all these different things but you are a white dude with gauges and face tattoos and now bald, but you used to have, I don't know what it was. It was like a mullet mohawk.
Something going on, yeah. Something it was out of hand.
When you are covering these songs or getting into different genres, the R&Bs and those things, is there ever any intimidation for you based on how you look?
I will say that for me, it is definitely, without a doubt, will be a problem. As far as like a being fearful of it, I don't think I can be, but you have to do it with absolute respect for your culture. It is not mine and it doesn't belong to me. Now, I was raised on the best music has to offer, which were black men, man, which were black women, which was like, you know, like that was where music, even rock and roll, man, you can give Van Halen all their props, but that's still, all of it, trace every bit of music back, man, black folks. This is black culture, right? And what I do is soul music, R&B music, that is black culture, without a shadow of a doubt. So I'm not ever here to, take ownership of this or like try to, and I think I try to, in every way that I can, make sure that if I am covering one of these songs, it's not me telling that story, because it's not for me to tell that story. One of the first things I released on my first EP was this song called Till I Change Your Mind. And, it was about my ability to recognize that some people in my family, some older folks in my family, feeling like racism is not around anymore because it's not directly affecting them in their life. And so like maybe someone who is my aunt or uncle might feel like, oh, it's not even, nobody's racist anymore. And it's like, well, just because it's not affecting you in your little place and pocket in the world doesn't mean it's not like, or just because it's not right in front of your face, or you don't see the little in between, the behind the scenes, you don't even see the tiny little things that you have because you're raised, that you're doing small prejudice things that are like, yes. For somebody to be like, you know, I'm not racist at all, but like, see, I just can't date black chicks, man. It's just not my thing. You know, it's like, bro, there's still some deep down, like, rooted shit for you to be able to say, like, come on, really? Like, you have this thing where you can't be attracted. Like, there's something deep rooted for that to happen, you know? And so I think for me, when we wrote that song, it was my guys to tell, like, people like that, like, yo, this, just because it's not affecting you doesn't mean it's not happening, and open your eyes to see, or try to learn and understand what's going on from someone else's. Put yourself in them shoes. But like not to put yourself in those shoes, because I will not try to tell your story or try to tell, I was not gonna go make a video with as much as I wanna, as much as I'm out on the street with the signs, I was not gonna make that my video where I was like, out on the street with the signs with my black brothers, like being like, hey, I support the blacks. You know what I mean? Like that's so right. Fucked up, you know? Right. That, because it would come off as like, I'm trying to tell this story. Like I'm, all I can do is like elevate a particular voice and elevate a voice and pay homage and respect to a black voice. It's not my job to—
I love that.
To tell that story. Awesome. I can't, it's not my story to tell. And it's damn sure, especially when my ancestors was the reason y'all had to tell a story in the first place. Yeah. It's not my place to tell that story, just to elevate or to, you know, pay homage or respect. And I try to lead so much with that, because that is it.
I gotta ask you, Teddy, because I'm a Neapolitan ice cream guy.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
There's strawberry, there's vanilla, there's chocolate. Do you dip into the chocolate side of it? Because you seem like you might dip into that chocolate ice cream.
You know,
you got the swag, you know. Yeah, I know you're more vanilla looking, yeah. But that chocolate side is something. Do you dip into that chocolate?
That's my favorite side of it, for sure. It definitely is my favorite side. I can say, I've always especially too with men, man. I'm such a respect and like And all, I mean, I got a beautiful mother, and I think women are just the most incredible creatures.
But
then
black women something.
And even so, especially because, man, women are held to these beauty standards, but black women, man, like, they are held to these fucking standards of, like, how to be a beautiful woman when they are just absolutely like, you got this shit, baby. Like, yo, like, you don't, you ain't gotta, you know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta do all that, baby. Yeah. Like, you, and I appreciate, you know, going ahead and, like, you know, doing the nails and doing the hair, and I appreciate all that. Like, I love you for that, baby. But, like, what women, black women especially, what they go through to, like, just be. Be accepted or validated, beautiful, or correct. Like, even, and if they are accepted and beautiful, then they're fucking getting, like, abused in a workplace because they're accepted and beautiful, and they, like, oh, well, like, yeah, I don't know, man. I think I always have, like, a tender spot in my life for, like, what, especially what a black woman goes through to be just fucking beautiful. You know what I mean? That will always be my weak spot.
So,
like,
how much credit do you give back to your dad? I read something where he introduced you to the soul music, Marvin Gaye,
man,
you know, the Al Greens, the Stevie Wonders,
yes,
who you mentioned. How did he get into it? What was Pop doing back in the day?
Pop was in the juke joint.
Pop was running.
Pop was in the juke joint.
So
out there hanging out with Chance.
But he was raised in a place called Everman, Texas, and it was like a, you know, he's just like me. I guess it was, you know, predominantly more black than it was white, you know. And I think he just, I don't know, man. I guess he also grew up in the damn 80s, man, where that music was just fucking that was, come on, bro. That was like the beginning of R&B and hip hop and, like, yeah, you know, real like, I mean, that shit, I think he just had a good ear. I don't know, man. I don't know how to comment on his, like, upbringing or how he got to that point, but fuck, man, it was always, when I was home with my mom for the weeks, it was always, you know, like, gospel music, like, not even like gospel music. Like, it was like, in a good rest high upon that mountain. You know, it was like Southern gospel music. It wasn't like soul gospel music, you know what I mean? So I go to my dad's on the weekends, and that's like, bro, we can fucking listen to goddamn Two Live Crew, and we can say shit and pussy and, like, you know, get away with shit. As long as we didn't go home, and I could have three ice creams and fucking listen to goddamn sex music. I could listen to Marvin Gaye, you know, and, like, I could do all this shit and enjoy it, you know? And I think my dad was just always like, more on, so, like, and I think when I have kids, I'll be the same way, just expose them to, you can't protect these kids from this shit, you know what I mean? Expose these kids to, like, these things, and, like, don't, you can't tell them they can't listen to this because it's about sex or fucking, or, like, they know what the fuck going on, man. They know what's going on.
Teddy, you mentioned, you know, your love for black women and your understanding for things they go through, but you've been with your woman for a while.
Cassidy, we've been together about a year now, yeah.
So when you are now becoming this star, you know what I mean, what, like, strains does that put on your relationship?
Yeah, a lot, man. I mean, it definitely is tough, but having her understand, you know, and understand what, just that I have to do this, you know, and this is what I do. I think for me, what has killed a lot of relationships, even with Nelly, for instance, what killed a lot of relationships is knowing that there's this thing and this love for my career and my craft, and it's like genuine love, and I can, as long as I keep that up front and first and foremost, and I don't lead with, like, anybody or anything else is more important than my love for this. I think that I have this ability to love something so completely and fully that I know how to take from this and love my wife, like my woman, you know, love the person that I care about. And I think for some people, like, that if they don't have that, how can they really love something, you know, how can they? And that might be stupid. Some people don't have passions but it sounds crazy to me that they wouldn't. You know, there's always, like, I work too hard, but at the forefront of everything is what I want out of this and what I want out of my life, and I need somebody that's gonna be my partner in it, and I need somebody that's gonna be my Michelle Obama in this shit, you know what I mean? I need somebody that's gonna want this with me, that's gonna love this, chase after this with me. I wanna have, like, what they say about, like, if we're both heading to this point, I mean, we're closer together in this triangle than, like, us going and chasing, like, separate, or I'm going this way and she's always hightailing it after me, trying to get my attention or put me at the forefront of everything. And that's so many of my relationships that weren't weren't successful is because I was so passionate about this and they were passionate about me or nothing. And it was, I've known.
That's a fight.
Yeah, I've known now in my life.
But can't you separate it?
Could you put that to the side business-wise? Like, could you compartmentalize, like, your career with your woman to put that to the side? Seriously, like you're saying, like, everybody doesn't have to head this way. A career's here, family's here, emotions here, sex life's here, but now career's here.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a balance that I feel like I'm struggling every day to find, you know, in it. There's definitely that balance, man. And I, speaking of, I actually went through this thing about a couple years ago where I got, like, super into where my life was, like, truly, I guess, just falling apart, and I was trying to find some sort of balance in something. And especially at the beginning of this whole ordeal. So I started getting into this thing online where, like, I found that, like, there's, like, actually a calculated, like, mathematical, like, balance point for every single thing. And some people you can find on, like, YouTube and stuff, and they'll go to these mountains and they'll take these giant boulders and they'll, like, put them on their side and just, like, balance them. And it'll be, like, so pleasing to look at because you're like, oh, wow, there's a balance point for everything in life, you know? Like, I can, if I pick up this chair or this thing and I could feel where, like, I can let it go and take my hands off of it, but then it'll fall, right? And if I could just find it, that balance point, if I can just find it, then I can take my hands off of it. And I thought that that was, like, what I needed to do with everything in my life. But what I fucked up was that there's other forces that come in and act, like a fucking gust of wind, that will knock that can right back over. And I was like, if I could just get this can of balance and I could just walk away from it and it'll be totally fine. When I get back, it'll be the same. And I kept coming back to shit and it'd be just not how I left it at all because, I don't know, maybe somebody came in and kicked my sandcastle over or somebody fucking, a fucking piece of wind came and knocked my rock, you know? And that was like that. So I think that is the biggest thing for me is realizing that how you can, like, balance takes a steady hand all the time, like, maybe not holding it, but, like, waiting to catch it, you know, and pushing it right back and knowing that point and figuring out that point based off of every acting force around it present at the time, how to, you know, and so balance is this constant thing that you're like, as soon as you feel like you've gotten it, it's fucked the next day, you know? It's so I don't know if I'll ever truly find the perfect balance of what this is, and it's gonna continue to grow and change, and there's gonna continue to be things that problems that I'm facing now, like I said, as I'm doing fine in my life, like financially, and I'm fortunate enough to be in a place where I'm able to put my best friends from high school on, like, salary and be in a unit together and have a business. But I never envisioned, like, I was gonna be running a fucking business here. I never realized I was gonna be, like, an entrepreneur. I just wanted to sing songs. I just wanted to be heard, and I wanted somebody to be like, hey, it's okay, you feel that way. We feel that way too, and that was it. You know, I didn't know that I was gonna be a businessman or have to, like, and now I think about it, I mean, of course, like, I want that. I want, if I think about it, man, there might be somebody that could take care of my friends better than I can, but goddamn, like, they will not love them. They might could pay them better, but they will not be taken care of like the way I could take care of them. You know, they will not be they could be paid better for sure, probably somewhere else, doing something else. Maybe you can play guitar for somebody else. I don't know, but nobody will love them. Nobody will respect them. Nobody will take care of them like that. And so there's things that I'm super excited that I get to do in my life, but there are things about it that were unforeseen things that I can genuinely say, even when I was down bad and I couldn't keep my lights on, this job is fucking harder than anything. This is the hardest point in my life right here, you know, and it's gonna continue to get harder. And that balance is the fucking stress of it. That is the hard part of it. And I'm so, I mean, if you got any fucking pointers, you've been in this long.
Hey, we have no pointers because none of us can sing. Like, just in reading about you donating money to the NAACP legal fund, also, there is stories about you making sure you take care of your friends and you pay the people that are with you. You have a song out now with Meghan Trainor.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just gonna be honest. I love Meghan Trainor. When you come in, the song changes. That's just like there are certain people that, like, feature on the song and it becomes their song. And so, like, just in hearing it, I was like, man, like, this dude who was doing covers and did all these things is now, you know, getting his imprint on the true market. You know, I know you have a tour that you're gonna be on. So what's next for Teddy Swims?
I'm gonna be putting out an EP, I think, in a couple months or something, and then we're finally gonna, beginning of next year, gonna go into like full album mode, like actually, you know, like a real whole thought out.
So far you've done what, Unlearning and I think Tough Love?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And we got another one coming out, and I think that'll be, I didn't want to shoot my shot too early to put out like a big old body of work that nobody's like really gonna, cause we're in a place where people don't want to hear like a whole full length, you know, I need to build that demand for somebody to feel like I have something to say, you know, to listen to be saying something and actually say something. You know, there's so many people with a platform to say shit these days that aren't saying a goddamn thing, you know, and that is really what's wrong with, I love that there's enough room for all of us to get whatever we want out of life. I'm just the biggest fan of, always the biggest supporter of, like, go follow your fucking dreams, make promises, like, go fucking do it. You know, do it, man. Because it was because I told my friends, like, yo, give me 6 months of this. I promise this is going to fucking work out. We just need 6 months all moving together, do these covers. This is going to work. I had no idea how to keep that fucking promise, but fucking happened in a day less than 6 months. I signed a Warner, you know?
Right.
You just manifest. I promise. Yeah. And I see that every day in my life. I just promise some shit's gonna happen. I don't know how to keep, and then it just goes. I don't know what the fuck happens. I don't know what's going
called
on.
Called game.
Yeah.
That's called game.
It just happens. It just fucking goes.
Are you in a place now, Teddy, man, where you're like, okay, this is what I always wanted?
Okay, it is what I always wanted. But when I think about it and the way that it's happening, I didn't know what the fuck I wanted at all. I was so stupid to think that this is like, you know, I want this. Yes, but this is not what I thought. This is not what I thought it was. You know what I mean? I just thought it was fucking, I thought it was fucking this and then Michael Jackson. And I was like, yeah, I want that. And I'll do whatever it takes to get that. But I did not foresee any of this fucking shit. Like, so I guess I this is what I wanted, but this is, I didn't know what I fucking wanted at all. I didn't know what I was signing up for. That's what,
because a lot of people miss that. It's the process, then it's progress, then eventually success. You know what, people miss those different steps. And it's just not easy. But trending, you know, in the trajectory that you're trending at, you know, we're fortunate. We're lucky to be able to have you on the pivot.
Hell yeah, man.
Man, you guys are heroes.
You're gonna
man.
Blow the fuck up like way past where you are. I'm looking at your tour dates, and you're every fucking where.
Yeah.
Like, we pivot and we run, and Alicia drives us in the fucking wall. It's like, we be everywhere. But in comparison to what you got on your plate,
we appreciate it.
I just want you to know, man, like, this is something that I've been pushing for, man, since hearing you sing for the first time for me. And I've gone down deep YouTube Teddy Swims.
So crazy to hear that, and like, man.
The thing I will say is, obviously, like, seeing you, being around you, the humility, just the normalcy of who you are is refreshing. The way you treat people, man, the way you move, like, that's what life is about. It's about the relationships you build. But the level of talent that you have, man, like, it is different. It is elite, and you are touching people, you're moving
special.
People, and people are paying attention. And so for us to get an opportunity to sit down with you in this way, like, I feel like 5 years from now, we'll look back at it and be like, man, before Teddy Swims was the Teddy Swims everybody else knew on Grammys and all that, he sat down with the Pivot, man. So thank you so much.
I'll be right back.
I'm trying to get some Journey out of him.
Okay, so Chan. You said you learned the words to Journey, right?
What's that? That's the song, Freddie. That's the song that you got
just
on me.
Just a small time girl.
Oh yeah.
Living in a lonely world. Let's go, baby.
What we got, bro?
She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in San Detroit.
He got it.
Honestly, man, this was something like I did as a fan. Like, you couldn't have been better. Like, honestly, your honesty, man, your vulnerability, man, your ability to connect. Like, it's gonna be so huge for us, man. And thank you for giving us, you know,
thank
a little
bit
of your time.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, one love, boy. Yes, sir.
Know it. Hey.
Respect.
He was dope as hell, dog. Sure.
He's a boy, man.
It's love, bro. Appreciate it.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On a mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up.